Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name's David Reed, and with me as ever is Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek Larwood.
Hello, listeners. Hello, David.
Hello, Marek. How are you? Are you well?
Pretty depressed.
Oh, you're depressed? Okay. Why have you seen a particularly sad film?
I have not worked the entire of January.
Okay.
The whole month.
That is a long time.
And I'm going to have to start temping soon for the first time in 10 years.
Well, that's an exciting new opportunity, isn't it?
It is the nail in the coffin of my career.
There's good news, yes.
Is that I have been, in between trying to get work, I have been to the cinema a lot.
Oh, that's good. You've found the time. Well, I'm glad you have, because I've been far too busy with my successful career to go to the cinema this week.
Well done. Thanks. Well done. I have been to, I've seen all of the Oscar Best Film nominees now.
Well done. That's a hell of a thing as well.
Yeah.
Let's talk about The Revenant, if that's all right.
Yes, we're The Revenant. This is a film with Leonardo DiCaprio's son.
Is he playing a small child or has he grown a beard?
No, he's old now. You can tell because his features stay the same, but his face has got wider.
Okay, his skull's just slowly got wider. You know how your nose and ears continue to grow?
Yeah.
It's the width of Leonardo DiCaprio's skull is the thing that continues to grow.
I think his face has got a lot bigger.
Yeah.
Skulls don't grow, do they?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Because babies' heads only grow by a certain... That's not the point. It's not about that. So Leonardo DiCaprio is he's the tracker bloke for a bunch of fur traders.
Okay, so he wears furs, he kills animals, he gets their furs.
He's got an Indian son.
What?
He's had a relationship with some Indian
people. Native American.
Yeah. Right. It's his 1820 in America.
Okay.
And basically he's... a group of fur trackers get caught up in a fight with the Indians who are after the furs, and then everything goes to shit for Leonardo.
Okay.
And everyone's talking about him and the bear. Basically there's a fight.
Is he raped by a bear?
No, I don't know where that come whole...
I mean, that's what the internet's on about.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from really, but it's that's a big thing, is him just trying to get back. Revenant means like revenge, isn't that something?
I'm not sure.
So the director is Alejandro Iñárritu. I can't say his name. González Iñárritu, who did Birdman. I think he's going to get the Oscar for Best Director.
Okay, is it?
It's just brilliantly done. I mean, I've seen so many fight scenes now from it feels like the opening fight scene. So there are some spoilers here. Like the Indian, sort of American Indian equivalent of Saving Private Ryan when they get off the boat.
Oh, really?
D-Day. It's brilliant.
So they open with a big song and dance number,
It's shot. It's rare to see an action sequence. I think a lot of the action sequences are rubbish now, and they just seem really CGI, and you're not shocked by it. It seems too stylized.
Well, what I liked about Birdman, and I'd like to see more of his films, is that he, as a director, he seems to have the attitude of, what you're looking at matters, and I think it matters, yeah. rather than just like, we get a sense something important's happening, you know, which is a lot of fast-cutting rubbish that, yeah. you know, people do.
Well, I think there's that star, isn't it? It's the fast-cut thing. He seems to do that thing where you're almost looking, almost following someone looking around.
Mm.
So the camera's got the, I don't know if they do it on steady cams, they must do it on steady cams. It feels like there's 360 action going on, so you're really immersed in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas when you're watching a lot of action things in the film, you're there and it's just cut to this, cut to that. It's just all happening at the same time, and you're looking around while it's happening. Like, it's almost you're part of this
yeah.
whole battle, which is incredible action. For someone, you say, you know, you go from... I mean, Birdman was notorious for having those huge, long takes that were on
yeah,
for...
Yeah, 15 pages or something.
Yeah, and amazing performances. This is just... You know, it shows he can do action sequences better than ones I've seen. And it's all set in the winter, at the end of this, as the winter's coming. And you feel cold watching the film. There's a whole sense, you really feel like it's a freezing in the middle of nowhere. It must have been awful for them to film it. Leonardo DiCaprio just... You just know he's... I thought, assume he's going to be good. I take it for granted because he's been there in the sort of film firmament for.
I've never
for
really
so long.
Enjoyed him. Never really
what?
Enjoyed him.
Yeah,
apart
really...
from in What's Eating Gilbert Grape when he plays a mentally handicapped boy, I've never really enjoyed him in anything else. I just he looks just like a petulant child to me,
I
but
he was
still
very
does.
Good in Shutter Island.
I hated Shutter Island. Oh. I thought it was dreck.
But there's something odd about him that you don't. That he's you never particularly warm.
No,
to him.
No, I don't. I find him a bit sort of smarmy and false. And you know, growing a beard doesn't convince me he's a mature adult, which seems to be what he does. He keeps trying to play sort of people with tragic pasts, but I just don't see it in his eyes. He looks like his entire life has been a playground, in my opinion.
I don't agree. I think he's brilliant. I think he's really good, but he does. I think he lacks that sense of warmth. That other actors have got, you know, you sort of, he's the sort of person you go to the pub with and have a chat and get on really well, and you think, well, I don't really know you.
Yeah, yeah. No, that, I agree with that. I think he's the perfect choice to play sort of Wolf of Wall Street types.
Yeah,
you know, just sort of sociopaths.
Yeah, a bit like
charming sociopaths.
A bit like Simon Fielder.
Yeah, sure, sure. And if you're listening, Simon.
He won't be listening.
No, he won't.
And then you've got Will Poulter from Son of Rambo.
Okay, yeah.
Playing.
Well, he's doing all right. Isn't
yeah.
He?
Who's the? You know him. His eyebrows are permanently in a frowning position.
That's right.
And Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy.
And
does he fight a bear? Because he'd win.
He just does. I would like to see Tom Hardy. Speak clearly in a film.
Yes, people have said that a few times now, haven't they? It's getting a bit awkward. Although the
just...
last time he spoke clearly in a film...
Was it Bane?
No, because Bane wasn't... Well, that was... He spoke very, very unclearly, and so they made him redub it all. But he speaks very clearly in Star Trek Nemesis, the film that gave him a mental breakdown and he nearly killed himself.
Who is he playing that?
He plays a clone of Jean-Luc Picard.
Oh, okay.
It was sort of his breakout role, and it killed the Star Trek franchise.
But this, was he good at speaking clearly?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he could do it fine.
So I was trying to think, what if Benicio Del Toro and Tom Hardy were both leads in the film?
I mean...
You wouldn't be able to hear,
no.
You wouldn't be able to understand. It'd just be no dialogue, just be the same, just grunting.
A sort of, yeah, sort of Hispanic-sounding grunts, and then Cockney-sounding grunts. Or sort of tour of Britain sounding grunts, because I don't know what Tom Hardy's accent actually is. But, yeah, but is he good in it? That's the thing. I sort of
he's
don't
good,
really mind.
He's sort of... I think he's got to watch himself playing these sort of psychopath mental sort of people who... I don't know if he's just mental that comes across in the films, that you think he might kill you at any time.
Yeah.
Which I've heard he's...
I've heard sort of he jokingly spars with people...
Yeah.
And then it just escalates very quickly.
Yeah. But there's an air of a psychopath surrounding all of his performances, I think.
Yeah.
But I thought, you watch it and you think this is really, really good. I don't know if it ever... I said this before, I think the last you can, in terms of the ratings, the merit ratings, you can go up to 8, which I give Revenant an 8.
Okay.
From just being a good film. The last two, the difference of the 9 and the 10 is just subjective.
Sure.
If you feel really touches you. I think it's just good, but I don't really have much in common with 1820
trappers.
Fur trappers.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
What about you?
What in common with fur trappers?
Yeah.
I mean, I like being in the outdoors, I suppose.
Yeah.
I'm quite a fan of snow. I don't really like killing animals. I certainly wouldn't like to lay a trap for one and then let it sort of get caught and linger for days before I come back to pick it up. I don't think I'd enjoy
you
that.
You don't really see any of that in the film.
Oh, right, okay.
It's just a lot of walking through snow and things going wrong.
The last Fur Trappers film I saw, I think, was probably Cannibal the Musical.
Yeah.
The first thing that Trey Parker and Matt Stone did, because they're okay. Fur trappers in the snow in that, but they sing songs. Maybe a nice double bill.
This is probably, I would think, this is the sort of film equivalent of the rise and fall of Reggie Perrin, but the fall and the fall bit.
The fall bit, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you took that, took Reggie Perrin,
yeah,
put it in snow.
And instead of the title sequence, you had a battle with some Native Americans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it a very similar theme of things going wrong?
Okay. Okay. Have you seen Peter Serafinovich's Ralph Fiennes sketch?
No.
He's doing inside sort of actors at workshops kind of thing. And his Ralph Fiennes is just Reggie Perrin.
Oh, really?
It really works, yeah.
I think he's really good and it's worth going to see at the cinema.
Okay.
I think he's a brilliant director that he can clearly do a film. I don't know if he chose it because he wrote this as well.
Okay.
It's completely opposite to Birdman in terms of Birdman's quite wordy and quite, you know.
And about the industry.
Yeah,
which is
really actory.
Always feels a bit samey to all the other things about the process, about actors or about producers or about writers. You know, it's always, you always go, okay.
I think it's just worth, this was my, I'll talk about another one next week, but this was my favourite. It's my second favourite of the Oscar contenders.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
And I think DiCaprio will get Best Actor.
Has he got one yet?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Get him on the phone.
I'll call him. What's he under? Whitehead. He's under Whitehead in my phone.
Get him.
I
was going to be really... what's the time in America
it's
now?
It's ringing. Oh, shit, it's really early.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, no.
Oh, God, I hope I didn't... It rang twice.
Yeah, so go... Oh, he's going to be upset.
Oh, shit.
I hope he's not working.
I'll turn my phone off so he can't call back.
So going... It's worth watching, The Revenant.
Okay.
Let us know what you thought of it. Let us know, will you?
Yeah, and if you'd like to let us know... or send in your Oscar predictions, as many of you have done, then please email us, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. If you want to talk to one another and post things you found... So that was Buddy switching chairs and sitting on a squeaky chicken leg. There we go, he's moved again. Yeah, no, you don't want to sit on that, do you? He's come back. Yes, you can talk to one another and post things you've found online on our Facebook wall, /Film Fandango, or you can tweet us at Film Fandango, at Mr. David Reed, or at Merrick Larwood. So, as I said at the beginning, I've been far too busy to watch these Oscar contenders, and I want to hear about them. I've seen some other films on Netflix, but probably best to talk about the films that actually are in the cinema right now. So, what's the second one?
I've seen Room, but before that, we should do the letter section. Here's a jingle.
Some people are writing letters. We like reading them out.
Okay, so here is a letter from Short Film Sunday. Accent. She doesn't say. She does not say. Hi, guys. I enjoyed Marek talking about Shadow of a Doubt and that era of film. Hume Cronyn... Cronyn?
Oh, the bloke who was in...
Old Man.
Yes.
Old Man and everything. Hume Cronyn is also in Hitchcock's Lifeboat, if you haven't seen. That would be a good one for you lot, as it's a bottle episode. We do like a bottle episode. Also, I'm sure I've recommended the fabulous Best Years of Our Lives before, but as one of the leads is Teresa Wright, maybe it's a good time again. Great film. Wyler's always a reliable director. I think you'd like, because it is that more innocent time, but as it deals with vets coming home from World War II and their families adjusting to life again, it turns it on its ear a bit. The former soldiers looking for work when there is none, and whether or not the women should keep working since war is over. The fallout of quickie war brides and lives they had with husbands away for years. It's really great stuff and just a fantastic cast. Infamously, Harold Russell and his two Oscars for the same role. There you go. I don't want a spoiler, but it's so great and Wright's performance is one of the best. She and Myrna Loy have better lines slash roles than women get now. Thanks. C. So thank you for that. So that is Lifeboat. Oh, Best Years of Our Lives, sorry. And his Best Years of Our Lives. Have you seen that one? I've not.
No, I've heard of it. I must watch it.
Yeah.
I simply must watch it.
You simply must. Simply must. Who else has written in?
Well, I don't know if we've read this. I don't think we've read this Phil Shakespeare one out before, but we might have done.
Well, I'll read it anyway.
We
can never get enough Phil Shakespeare.
So if you're repeating, it's apologies, but my memory's completely gone. Here's the letter. Dear Dave American Buddy, hello, Phil Shakespeare, joint winner of the 2014 Film Fandango Oscar Prediction Game here. It's been a while since I wrote in, and your plea for more letters in your latest episode has spurred me on to do so again. Until very recently, the only Hitchcock film I'd seen was North by Northwest, which I felt was something I ought to remedy. So in recent weeks, I've been doing so. I've seen The Birds, To Catch a Thief, Rear Window and Psycho, for which I gratifyingly somehow got through life without spoiling its twist. Hitchcock was so alarmingly prolific. I welcome your advice as to which of his films to seek out first. I think Dial M for Murder and Vertigo are definite so far. Keep watching the films. Best wishes, Phil. Go and see Frenzy. Watch Frenzy.
Frenzy. I haven't seen Vertigo that everyone celebrates. I thought North by Northwest is sort of fine and probably very...
Oh, it's brilliant!
It's very influential in that genre, definitely.
Oh, it's
but I think,
brilliant!
I think there are better ones. I'm a big fan of... Psycho, obviously, is brilliant.
Rear Window.
Rear Window is excellent. Rebecca, I'm a big fan of. I think Rebecca...
I love Rear Window. I love Psycho. And The Birds, I thought, was fantastic. I wasn't a big fan of Vertigo, though. So, yes. Make what you will of that one.
Anyone else?
Yeah, it's another person who's a regular.
Who's that?
Martin.
Martin Appleyard?
Yes.
It's Martin Appleyard. Right. Martin Appleyard. What does he want?
Oh, he's given it an accent as
well. What accent's that? A 5-year-old boy who has never seen the outside world and believes that mountains are made up. Because they're too big to be real, or if you're struggling with that, a bog-standard Russian bad guy. So which would you prefer there?
Five-year-old boy.
I have just had the best movie-watching week ever. I managed to finally see Inside Out and thought it was an almost perfect film. Neuroscience for kids is such a high-concept idea, but it's so cleverly thought out and executed, I just sat there grinning from start to finish.
I want you to go to Russian.
You don't like this voice?
No.
Okay. Apart from the sad bit when that thing happens to Thingy and he has to, you know, because he loves her. Anyway, it stuck in my head for days after, just thinking about the different ideas within it, and now I now truly believe that that is what's going on inside my head right now. It's described as a brilliant family film, and the family bit will put some adults off watching it, but everyone should see it because it's just a brilliant film. Dare I say, classic. My perfect film week was completed when I saw Room, which is an astonishing film I knew very little about beforehand, and is probably the best way to see it. Within the obvious restrictions of the narrative, there are no big set pieces. The performances are perfectly understated and never hint at tipping over into melodrama, which is a less gifted director might have asked for, given their circumstances. The film still manages to create some achingly tense moments and an overwhelming feeling as a viewer that you want them to succeed. The real strength of the film is in its two leads who work perfectly together, making you believe there is a bond between the two of them. Brie Larson has had the Oscar nomination, but it is the performance of Jacob Tremblay which will stay with me longer. I guess the Academy are not brave enough to nominate a 9-year-old, but I bet by the end of the year it is his performance I will remember more than anything by those that were actually nominated.
I bet even Marek, who hates child actors, will agree with me on this one. No question, I'm afraid. I just felt I needed to share my feelings about two fantastic films. Keep watching the films. From Comrade Martin Avalon.
That was good.
Thanks. So, Room. I've been wanting to see it for a while and still haven't. Please don't spoiler it. I really want to see it.
Have you seen the trailers for it?
Yeah. So I know that they're in a room. They're sort of trapped in a room. A woman and a boy. And they dream of shit. Right?
It's hard to talk about it without spoiling it. But you've seen the whole trailer, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Thing.
So you see the bit about them outside the room and things.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, so first of all, let's talk... I mean, that email sums up the problems, I think, with the fact that child actors are fundamentally annoying.
Yes, they are.
I would argue that anyone on screen 10 years or younger, they cannot help but be annoying.
Yeah.
He's brilliant in this.
Well, even if they are a convincing small person, they... Children are annoying.
That's my problem. I think that's my problem. Is I find children really annoying.
Yeah, I mean, children who can't even act as proper children are even more annoying.
Yeah.
But kids in themselves, you know, if they're not yours, I'm sorry, parents, they're really annoying.
The most you can get is half an hour.
Yeah.
It's fine. And then after, and if it's a relative, that goes up to about 2 hours, you get extra points for that. But after that, you think, oh, do you know what? I do not want... You're making my life worse. Go away. So that's the problem with anything. So I think he should have been nominated for an Oscar for this.
Really?
What's his name? Jacob Tremblay.
Tremblay.
For playing. So the story is, I read the book beforehand, which, like The Martian, actually, I think the Book of Room isn't as good as The Martian. It's more of a, it's not especially brilliantly written, but the idea is brilliant. And the film was about Brie Larson and her 7-year-old son who inhabit this room without seeing the outside world. And there are some spoilers, some mild spoilers that are in the trailer I'm going to talk about now, where she's been, you know, kidnapped and given birth to this kid in this room.
Yeah.
And he's spent his whole life there. So they only exist in that room. And over the course of the film, somehow they get out. And you've got their reaction to it. And I think what the great thing is that normally you have a film about just them in the room, and that would be the climax of it. This is really interesting because you've got the aftermath as well. And I think it's really nice to have a story sort of shift the arc of the story back, so you get the interesting after and how, you know, what is the question of what is a prison. Is it just the room itself, or is it a way of living, being treated by people, a way you're perceived? And I think that's absolutely fascinating how they cope with that and the coping mechanism between them. I think it asks loads of really great questions. Brie Larson is brilliant in it as well.
And this is the real underdog film in terms of Oscar nominations, because Brie Larson was not a big name before this film came out, and everyone's been talking about her since it did. You know, she played Abed's girlfriend in Community. That's probably the highest profile thing.
21 Jump Street.
Is she in that one?
Yeah, she's in that as the girlfriend in.
And she plays Amy Schumer's sister in Trainwreck as well. But you know, she's not been a name in, you know, on everyone's lips.
It's really. It's Oscar bait part.
Yeah,
I think she's really good, and I think she will win the Oscar. I don't know if it's the best performance I've seen.
You prefer The Bear? Is The Bear nominated?
Quite like Cate Blanchett. The more it's grown on me.
Carol, yeah.
In Carol. That's really grown on me. And Rooney Mara is the best supporting actress. I think it's quite an odd blur between the best supporting actor, when they decide who's the supporting actress and who's the best actor. Because it's just, is it just the net they've got the biggest name? Sometimes.
I might be wrong about this, but didn't Dame Judi Dench win for Best Actress for Shakespeare in Love when she's like in it for 2 minutes?
Yeah, I don't know how they define best. Someone's got a bigger part. In Carol, you'd say Rooney Mara probably got. It's probably the lead.
Yeah.
But then she's nominated for Best Supporting Actress and the other way around. So it's really odd. I thought this was as good. I could tell it was good. I was enjoying it. It was a good subject matter. It was well done. I just never reached those real... And Carol's a good example. Carol, there's two moments in that film. One, which had me in tears, and I thought was amazing.
Right.
I'd rather have two or three amazing moments than just a film that's consistently good. And I think it maybe didn't handle the tension of the great bits, or the great moments.
Okay.
Didn't do them brilliantly. It didn't do anything. It did everything really, really well, but there was nothing I thought... And nothing that made me really gasp and made me think that is okay. Amazing. Am I explaining myself?
No, totally. I mean, sometimes it's... I guess it's that dichotomy between making something real and making something melodramatic, where if you make something melodramatic, you can really punch people in the gut with their feelings, but if you go too far, then people start to go, oh, that would never happen. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and so it's... Treading that line is, I guess, the...
I'm not saying melodrama. I'm just thinking of just a spectacular moment.
Yeah.
Which maybe I think I'm searching for. The film should be just loads of... That's why I like Tarantino. He does spectacular moments in films.
Yeah, he really does. But he does melodrama hugely.
Yeah. But I thought this was just a... I think I had such... Maybe I had a high expectation. That's the problem. When you go and you know all the nominees.
Yeah.
As soon as it comes... If you go and see them before they get nominated... You've got a better judgment, but this was nominated, I thought, and this was everyone saying Room's brilliant.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh yeah, it is quite good. I think The Revenant's better. I enjoyed it. Enjoyed the interesting subject matter. Is it something that I'd watch again or put in my classic films? No, it's not. I mean, Buddy's trying to get off of me during this. What is it, Buddy? What have I said to?
I mean, your sensitive heart is really alluring.
Do you want to create a spectacular moment on the podcast? He's wagging his tail.
He's very happy.
You can feel his excitement beating against the wooden desk. Yeah, so I think it's a good... I give it 8 Marics. I enjoyed it.
Wow, so that's 2 8 Maric films this week. Well, yeah. Sounds like there's some decent films in this year's Oscar.
It should be. I think
category, you know.
I was quite disappointed up until now, but I think these ones are the better ones. Room and Revenant, I think.
Great. Well, if you have an opinion about these, then please do email us. DearFilmFandango@gmail.com is the email address again. And do send us your Oscar predictions, as the person who gets them all right will receive a prize. We are asking from you the best picture, best director, best director?
Yeah.
Yeah. Best actor, best actress, best supporting actor, and best supporting actress. And if you can get all of those right, then you are the winner.
There's odds on them.
There's odds, are there?
So you could even bet online.
Wow.
And make your own prize money.
Yeah, put your money where your mouth is, fool.
Yeah, fool.
Fool. Yeah, we'll be back next week. The last thing I should say is we do all this for free. So if you have enjoyed the podcast and would like to help us continue doing it, then please go to filmfandango.co.uk and donate anything you can from the link there. But in the meantime, keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.